Well, we're glad, brethren, you've stayed for the last two services of the convention. We're reminded in John, the second chapter, when Jesus performed his first miracle, and the head waiter said to the bridegroom, "You've saved the best wine for last." And whether or not that's the case, we're sure that we're going to get some of the best wine you've ever tasted. Brother John Baker's topic is consider one another.
Thank you, Brother Peter. I know about the brethren here in Chicago, it seems like they're always giving you incentive to do your best. Appreciate that. Your friends are appreciating very much the convention starting the new year with you, and we brought the love of the Muhammad Ecclesia yesterday, but for those who weren't here, we'd like to bring that again. And especially my mom wanted to be remembered. I'll mention her especially. She's been having some difficult physical experiences, more and more limitations on ability to walk. And I think some concern about that. She just finished about with the shingles. And so it's been a real trial, but she's really persisted through that. And she loved being in convention. She always appreciated the time with the friends. And she very much missed being here and wanted her love specially conveyed. Well, dear friends, there are many things in the scriptures that we're told to consider. And, of course, our highest conceptions are to consider our Heavenly Father, consider our Lord Jesus. But we're also encouraged to consider one another. And we think it's a very important topic. You know, brethren, on the one hand, you know, as we were mentioning yesterday, we don't know what lies ahead of the church. We don't know how long the church has. The Lord knows, and that's all well in His hands. And for the time that we do have, we want to well use the opportunities that we have in the Lord's service. And one of those has to do with the encouragements that we receive, the encouragement that we give to our brethren. And so we wanted to take a look at this. And our theme text is going to be from Hebrews 10:24. And we'd like to read this from Weymouth. We appreciate it. It's a little bit clearer than the King James, which uses the phrase, consider one another. But in the Weymouth, Hebrews 10:24 says, "And let us bestow thought on one another with a view to arousing one another to brotherly love and right conduct." And I really appreciate that, because sometimes the word provoke gives, you know, wrong thought. But we're really trying to encourage one another to make the best use of our opportunities for growth in love and in right conduct. Now, brethren, some years ago, and some of you will have known Sister Berna McNee. You know, brethren, it's a real privilege to walk with one another, because sometimes we get little snippets of experience that are just so very helpful. Now, Sister Berna McNee, for many years, was in the Bellingham Ecclesia. Friends might remember Brother Ted Smith, that was the elder there for many years, and Brother Wilf also. And after Brother Wilf finished his course, Sister Berna found it necessary to go to the Vancouver Ecclesia, no longer to go to Bellingham at one point. And Sister Berna reflected on something that I really appreciated, because if you think about an older brother or sister going to a new ecclesia and adjusting within that ecclesia, you know, that can be difficult as we're older. And her comment was that she felt that the Lord had given her the brethren in the Vancouver class, that each one was a gift to her from her Heavenly Father, and that she wanted to gain the lesson from each one of her brethren that the Lord intended for her to gain. And brethren, we really appreciate that, because we think that she caught the right attitude about the brotherhood. That really, one another, we are gifts from the Lord to encourage one another in the way. You know, as we're striving each to make our calling election sure. And so, dear brethren, we emphasize that as the Lord directs. You know, Sister Karen and I have had the experience of moving to a new ecclesia and, you know, coming into a new arrangement. We've really appreciated going forward in faith, thinking that the Lord has something special for us. And, of course, we hope reverse, that there's a purpose in His putting us there. But we really appreciate that the Lord says that He has set every member in the body as it pleases Him. That's 1 Corinthians 12:18. The primary application of that verse, dear brethren, of course, is that in the large body, the Christ, we have various areas of service. We have various, we might say, backgrounds, experiences, various helpfulness among the brotherhood that will be used in that kingdom. We'd like to just turn there, if we could, to 1 Corinthians 12. We'll have a few comments in that context to start. And we'll read 1 Corinthians 12:18, and then the context. Brethren, I'm a little bit new to using my computer up here, so I might be a little slow. But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Now, dear friends, you, I'm sure, have studied this and considered it, but we have this picture of the various services of the human body. And, brethren, one lesson that we get right off the bat is there's no member who has all the attributes of the body. You know, our Heavenly Father has arranged it so that we need the fellow members of the body to really to develop and to make our calling election sure. You know, brethren, it's, we make our calling election sure individually. We have to be individually faithful. And yet the arrangement the Lord has given is that of really of Christian cooperation and the work that the church will be doing on the other side. There's a start to that now. We have to act and function as the body together. Now, friends, this can be a little bit of a difficult lesson. We'll put it from this standpoint. As a school teacher, you have to learn that you don't reach every child. You know, you may start out idealistically and think, I'm going to reach every child, make a difference in every child's life. But, you know, not every child relates to a teacher's learning style. They may dislike the personality or whatever. I'm talking about from a worldly background. Well, brethren, in the scriptures, the 144,000 are described as 12 tribes, as 12 divisions. And we like to think of those as 12 basic characteristics that will be represented within the body for the benefit of mankind. There's this wide variety of experience that mankind has had and will have before the end of the present evil world. And the church is privileged to share those experiences now. There's no temptation that's taken us except what is common to man. And so, dear friends, the Lord has arranged it that none of us can do it all. You know, we need one another. We need the various talents and experiences in the body. Our Lord Jesus, of course, being the one exception. Now, dear friends, we'd like to share a little story that Brother Charlie Chambers told, and we really appreciate this very much. He spoke about a man who was out mowing his lawn. And in mowing his lawn, it was quite a there's quite an elevation in the lawn, and you have to be careful when one is mowing that type of terrain not to let the mower slip. And the mower slips. And what happens is the man loses part of his tennis shoe and he loses a little toe. Well, his fella's fairly rough and tough, and he thinks, you know, what's a little toe? He just goes on, finishes mowing the lawn. Well, after some time, he realizes, you know, it does hurt, and he has a little difficulty. He's not exactly walking right. And so he thinks, well, this will go away. It'll heal up and things will be fine. Well, he found out that he never walked correctly again. That little toe seemed unimportant, but it was really important for a proper walk. Now, you can probably draw the lesson. If we cut off one of the least of our fellow body members, then what happens? Our walk, to that extent, will be less than it should be before our Heavenly Father. And friends, we really appreciated that point because we believe that what this lesson of consider one another is really about is learning to view our brethren as our Heavenly Father and as our Lord Jesus views the brethren. Dear brethren, we're not here to just have a good fellowship, enjoy one another's company, but we have a mission in view. You know, we're told to edify one another, which is to build one another up. The purpose is to become part of the Christ in the end, to be faithful in that endeavor. And friends, when we look at how our Lord Jesus viewed things, you know, brethren, we give you a piece of homework, if we may. When you study through the Gospels, consider how our Lord Jesus looked at mankind. You know, think about one who came from the heavenly courts, who had, you know, the daily delight with his heavenly Father. And we often think about how difficult it would be to be among mankind. The smells, the sights, the sin. He could read the heart. Can you imagine what a trial it would be to read murder in the heart of the ones who sat in Moses' seat? And dear friends, we mention that because what our Lord was looking for, we believe, was the heart devotion among the Lord's people. And, you know, when the disciples were so impressed with the temple, and they wanted to know, well, Lord, how are you going to build this temple again? You know, you say it's going to be destroyed in 3 days. It's interesting to contrast that with what did Jesus notice about the temple? Was he impressed with the construction or the furnishings or the high priest's garments? Friends, the thing we're struck with, he was impressed with the widow who cast in her 2 mites. And the reason that impressed him, he said she had given her all. Now, brethren, you think about a widow who has very little. You know, widows are often ignored. You know, they're often overlooked. Their life may seem like it's mostly in the past. But the important thing to our Lord Jesus was that devotion. And friends, think about this for a minute. The widow was giving her money to the temple, an arrangement the Lord knew would soon fail. And yet, to what that widow understood, that was the place to give her money to share her devotion. Our Lord didn't say, no, that's the wrong thing to do. Wait for the next dispensation to go into effect. He appreciated what he saw in her heart at that point. Now, brethren, we also would contrast this with how many times were the apostles arguing over who would be first in the kingdom? We find that multiple times in the scriptures, not just once. Brethren, we believe what our Lord Jesus was doing was looking for every impulse of heart devotion amongst the Lord's people at that time. And he was pointing that out to his disciples. This is the attitude that you should have. We believe that's the point, dear friends. And brethren, Brother Russell, in the 6th volume, and I apologize, I don't have the page number here. It's near the end of the chapter on order and discipline, the new creation. But he makes an observation about this widow that Jesus, in effect, was saying, she's doing, in principle, the same thing that our Lord Christ was doing. He was giving up his life for the good of mankind. She was giving all that she had to what she understood in the Lord's service at that point. And brethren, that was a lesson he especially wanted to impart to his disciples, that rather than to be lords among the Gentiles, that they were to be servants, that he who would be greatest would be servant of all. Now, dear brethren, jumping back, if you will, for a moment. Unfortunately, I closed it. Jumping back for a moment to 1 Corinthians 12, we'd just like to note there, going to do this again. Verses 22 and 23. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Well, dear brethren, when we look at it from the Heavenly Father's standpoint, we brought forth a couple days ago, who is it that he's near to? He's near to those who appreciate their own littleness and who realize their need of him. And friends, you know, amongst our fellowship, there are many that, you know, have very particular needs and particular challenges, difficult experiences. You know, we mentioned widows earlier. The young have their own particular challenges. We have brethren who have unconsecrated spouses who, you know, they may not be first on our fellowship list to bring in. And brethren, we bring this up because, again, we think our Lord was looking for those examples of devotion. And he was looking widely around the nation of Israel. He said, "Suffer little children to come unto me," because of the example of childlikeness, childlike faith that the church would have. Friends, we'd add one more example here, and I should have given you, friends, look, it's Luke 21:1-4 on the widow's mite. But we'll ask you to turn to John chapter 6. We'll start with verse 9. This is the occasion of the feeding of the 5,000. And brethren, our Lord had served all day, and the disciples want to send away the masses of people, send them home to get their supper. And our Lord Jesus asks, well, what kind of food is available here? Verse 9 tells us, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus says, make them sit down. Brethren, the point we'd like to make here is that this lad was the source of what the Lord used to feed the 5,000. He was apparently willing to share what he had. He didn't say, no, this is for me and my family. Or he didn't say, no, Lord Jesus, just for you and your disciples, you eat that. But he came to our Lord, gave him the fish and the loaves. And brethren, we think there's another really wonderful lesson here, that whatever talents or opportunities of service we have, if we devote that fully in the Lord's service, he is able to do so much more with that talent or those services than we could ever do ourselves. He took those 2 fishes and 5 loaves, and he made them into a meal for 5,000. Now, friends, we mention this because we think what we especially want to do is to be on the lookout for helping the Lord's little ones, that this is part of our considering one another. And, friends, we'd like to just talk a little bit about the subject of need for a moment. Matthew 6, verse 8 and verse 32, and we appreciate, I forget which speaker mentioned this already, but you know when there's something repeated in Scripture, oh, mark it, underline it, highlight it, pay attention to it, friends. There's a reason when these things are repeated. Those two texts both mention, your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask. And friends, I don't know if you've had this experience. I know Brother Bob Gray has had this experience. If you start considering the body and looking around at the brethren, there are all kinds of needs that the brethren have. There's much encouragement that's needed among the body. And friends, we're not talking necessarily about, you know, temporal needs from the standpoint of, you know, jobs, money. I mean, there are experiences like that. But the adversary is especially on the lookout to discourage the Lord's people. And one of the things that we find that our Lord Jesus even lacked was the sympathy of those he walked with. It's really in Mary that he finds that woman's intuition that realizes somehow just what he was doing. And Jesus says when she breaks the alabaster box over him that she had anointed him beforehand for his burial. Now think about that, brethren. Here was a sister so tuned in to our Lord Jesus. Well, others were arguing about where they would be, what would the place be in the kingdom that they would have. You know, he knew he was going to finish his course in death. And somehow the Father overruled it that he could get sympathy from, you might think, an unexpected source, from Mary. Well, brethren, that's one of the things that we think is sort of the least things we can do for our brethren as we consider one another. And friends, many of us have the experience of many, many time commitments, and it can be very difficult for myself, you know, to take the time to really consider what the experiences of our brethren mean. You know, friends, if you take the time and talk to your brethren and ask them, I mean, brethren. Some look at their brethren as jewels that are waiting to be mined, and we really appreciate that thought, that everyone has a treasure of experience from our Heavenly Father in one fashion or another. And brethren, one of the privileges of being in an ecclesia over a period of time is seeing your brethren grow in the understanding of the truth and in the application of the principles of the truth. You know, friends, we would encourage, if there's one meeting only you can get to during the week, make it the testimony meeting. Learn to look at your brethren's hearts and their experiences and how they're striving to do the Lord's will. And friends, we've been privileged to be in ecclesias that are fairly small where you can get to know one another pretty well in your experiences. And friends, there's a real test in that, because as we get to know one another, we do see where our brethren fail. And you know, brethren, this is where grace is important. To look at our brethren, not where our flesh might be rubbed, but to look at them from the standpoint of the Heavenly Father. The Heavenly Father always encourages us to do the right thing. You know, our Lord Jesus did not condemn the people. The common people heard him gladly because he gave them hope. He told them about the Father's love. He encouraged them to do the right that they could do. He didn't condemn them because they didn't keep the law in the way that the Pharisees did. And I'm sorry, I got away from my notes. But on this subject of need, and on Matthew 6, 8, and 32, our Heavenly Father knows better than we do just exactly what our necessities are, both temporal and spiritual. We don't have to figure them out, thankfully. Do you ever think, brethren, about what experiences you give yourself to make your collection sure? Boy, I gave that up a long time ago, because do you know how warped you are in sin? Do you know where to fix those things? Who can understand his errors? None of us do. But the Lord knows, from our down-sitting to our uprising, he knows us. And he knows the best way, like peeling back an onion, to peel back our experiences to help us address, you know, the failings that sometimes are very deep in our characters. And brethren, it's interesting. Although God knows all our needs, it's really important for us to ask. You know, the first time that Jesus says, "Your Father knoweth what you have need of," it's in the context of the Lord's Prayer. He tells them how to pray, and he tells them what to ask for, but he also says, you know, your Father knows what you have need of. Well, brethren, we don't appreciate things nearly as much as when we ask for them and when we seek them. And in prayer, we are aligning ourselves to our Heavenly Father's will. We are really considering, what does he see as best for us? And we look for that. And we try to follow his ways as he directs us through our experiences. You know, brethren, among our brethren, you know, you've seen some that have had really miraculous deliverances through prayer. And, you know, some of the brethren have been discouraged by that. Well, brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, look at that experience they had. Why don't I have an experience like that? That's often a discouragement that comes to many. Well, brethren, we think the point is, usually a miraculous deliverance happens because there's great need. Do we all have a great need in our life? The Lord doesn't just give us miraculous deliverances and experience to show how, you know, we have his favor or that we're heaven's favorite. But those are for times of need when our faith especially needs encouragement. Now, brethren, we'd like to suggest something to you here as part of considering your brethren. Borrow your brethren's Ebenezers. Get the most good that you can out of an Ebenezer. The same Heavenly Father who delivers that brother or sister so miraculously, he can do just the same for you if you have the faith and if you're in experience of great need. And dear friends, we'd like to suggest another point about this. We believe that the miraculous deliverances where a trial is lifted, those are great, but we don't believe those are as great as the faith that sustains through trial. Brethren, it was our Lord Jesus' faith in his Father that enabled him to experience the cross. That's the greatest example of faith and trust in our Father. And brethren, sometimes our brethren go through experiences for years, repeated over and over and over again, and they wonder, why doesn't the Lord take me home? Why isn't my time yet? Well, brethren, I think we have to always keep in mind how high the reward is and try not to ask those questions. It will look so different from the other side. But many times our experiences are such that the only way is through. And we should pray for the strength to be sustained through that experience. Now, friends, when we consider one another, you know, sometimes just a few words of encouragement along the way, when the adversary tries to discourage, oh, you're so little, it's been so long, how could you be faithful? You know, brethren, we need to remind our brethren of the promises. We appreciate Brother Dan's talk earlier. There were some wonderful promises in there. And friends, have you ever considered what it means to claim the promises? That word claim doesn't do a lot for me, dear friends. You know, I wonder sometimes, this is a poor illustration, but if the way that a pit bull grabs a bone and won't let go, if that is how we should grab a promise and hold tenaciously to it. You know, dear friends, we would suggest in your trials, find a text that relates to that experience. You know, brethren, we went through experiences where we were working many hours and it seemed that there was not much relief. We just had to do this. And I'd go in every day and I'd think, how am I going to go through this again this day, Lord? And then I'd think, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Now, that wasn't really a really hard trial, but that text was the one that was almost like my mantra every day, dear brethren. And that helped pick me up every day. And each one of us, we have that opportunity to find a particular text that relates to whatever experience we're having and really to hold tenaciously to that. Now, brethren, sometimes in our experiences, we're very weak and we may talk to the brethren. And, you know, I'll admit I've had trouble with this in the past, dear friends. You know, I came out of the world, and when I came among the brethren, it was so wonderful to talk about the truth. I mean, I just wanted to be with the brethren and talk the truth all the time. And I get a little aggravated sometimes if we couldn't talk about the truth, you know. But sometimes the brethren have experiences where they need to share what's going on in their life. And friends, there's a very dear sister, and I kind of marvel at it. She would contact me and ask about my temporal experiences. And, you know, that's kind of unusual, you know. Now, she wasn't doing it from this standpoint just to find out what was going on in my work life. But, brethren, we think that what this dear sister was doing is she was looking for the spiritual lesson. She was looking for how to encourage me to look at my experiences. You know, brethren, when we're young, we don't know how to look at our experiences often. You know, a Christian is like a babe. And what do babies do? They eat and they sleep. What do young Christians do? They're very hungry for the truth. They eat a lot of it, but they also sleep. They don't always realize what's going on in their experience. And the new creature is not always fully awake. And the older brethren, the more experienced brethren, are needed sometimes to just say, have you thought about looking at your experience this way? Or don't think of it just along the temporal line, but what is the Heavenly Father doing in your experience? You know, brethren, this is maybe an odd connection here, but think about the tabernacle for a moment. Have you ever considered how the Heavenly Father would teach spiritual lessons to natural man? And yet the tabernacle, it's all constructed out of natural material. And in that tabernacle is a compartment constructed that really illustrates what the life of a spirit-begotten person is. Now, brethren, let me relate this to our daily experiences. The Lord uses the natural everyday things that happen to us in our development. I used to think, brethren, that my life in consecration was after I got off work, when I could go home and I could study in the evening, or when I went to meeting. But, you know, our Father knows so much better. Every experience during the workday, or whatever your experience is a part of the development of the body of Christ. If you're consecrated and sincerely striving, then your experiences, the Lord is overruling to develop that new creature to be finally faithful. So, dear friends, I really appreciate that sister looking. She taught me really by example how to look at my experiences. And, brethren, we all need those that encourage us from time to time because we all have moments when we're weak. Dear friends, are you alert when you hear the testimonies of your brethren? You know, we knew a brother that very quietly, sorry, friends, after the testimony meeting, whatever brother or sister had had a really hard trial that week, he would very quietly take them by the arm, take them aside, and talk to them about their experience. And he was never one to give advice. What he did was he asked the brethren, what do you see as the Lord's direction in this experience? You know, what subjects are you considering? You know, if you think this is patience, have you looked at some articles about patience? Have you looked at the scriptures? Is there a text you're holding on to? That brother, in another way, was teaching the friends how to determine the Lord's will. What should I do in the experience? And friends, he did it without giving advice. He merely asked questions to help whichever one was struggling in their experience, to help them reach the conclusion for their own. You know, brethren, sometimes when we give advice, we're short-circuiting the experience for our brethren. We're not pointing them to the source of true help, our Heavenly Father. And we're not helping them to determine the Lord's will for themselves. You know, brethren, I really feel like that brethren was teaching each one to have faith. The Lord was directing them individually. Because he didn't tell the brethren what to do. He said, look to the Lord, draw the lesson out for yourself. And now, brethren, we think that was really considering the friend's experience. And brethren, we'd like to just point out here, we're going to call this, I'll get to the right place, we're going to call this an experience multiplier. And we think this is part of the amazing way the Lord has designed the Christian experience. We'd like to turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. Hebrews 10, verse 32. And I'm going to read again from Weymouth. But continually recall to mind the days now past, when on being first enlightened you went through a great conflict and many sufferings. This was partly through allowing yourselves to be made a public spectacle amid reproaches and persecutions, and partly through coming forward to share the sufferings of those who were thus treated. For you not only showed sympathy with those who were imprisoned, but you even submitted with joy when your property was taken from you, being well aware that you have in yourselves a more valuable possession and one which will remain. Dear brethren, we mention this as an experience multiplier, and we told you earlier about borrowing Ebenezers. Well, when we consider our brethren's experiences and we pray for them, or maybe we go to them in the hospital, or maybe, you know, we go to the draft board with them, some brethren have done. We're willing to share. We enter into our brethren's experience. Dear friends, our Heavenly Father has arranged it so that that experience also counts to the one who's entering in. It's not just for the one who's suffering the experience, but it's also for the one entering in. You know, and brethren, you know these things. How much of the helpfulness of the Apostle Paul can be attributed to Priscilla and Aquila, who ministered to his temporal needs, who also helped in their conferences with the brethren on what was present truth at that point. You know, brethren, the Lord has designed it so that in many, many ways, as we enter into our brethren's experience, the benefit is multiplied. And friends, you know, I'll tell you, I'm the first one that I'd rather not have all my experiences public, you know? I just was raised a private person. But sometimes the Lord makes your experiences very public. And it may be simply for the purpose of allowing the benefits of that experience to be shared more widely in the body. Some of our brethren have had spectacular failings that the Lord has permitted to become known. We know sometimes brethren have had experiences where they've had a very strict view and they've cut off their brethren. And the Lord has then helped them to come to a better appreciation of that. They kept their heart right and the Lord corrected their head. You know, brethren, we get lessons on all kinds of levels. The question should always be, what is the Lord doing, whether it's in the larger movement or whether it's in the individual experiences of his people? Dear friends, there's much more. We might also mention, from the standpoint of the Apostle Paul, there's a service multiplier. In serving our brethren, sometimes we allow them to do more. You know, it's very interesting. If you ever consider that Moses could not have acted as the one to stand before Pharaoh if Aaron had not been there with him? The Lord had designed it that it actually took two. We always think of Moses, and yet the Lord arranged it so that two would be exercised and used. Moses didn't have the talent of speaking, but Aaron did. And so the Lord arranged it. Again, an experience that's multiplied. Well, dear friends, we wanted to address in here also Ephesians 4:11 to 16. We'll just comment briefly. We mentioned that Sister Berna McNee's question was, what do I learn from the brethren, these gifts that our Father has given to me personally to learn from? Ephesians 4:11 points out that apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers were the gifts to the church. You know, the church order, the ecclesia arrangement, is the Heavenly Father's gift for our learning and development. And brethren, the point we wanted to emphasize here is that, you know, it's for the work of perfecting the saints. It's through speaking the truth in love. You know, brethren, we're striving to be faithful. This considering one another is not, as we said earlier, to enjoy good fellowship and enjoy one another. That's a blessing. But it's really with the view in mind of the perfecting of the saints. As we enter into one another's experiences, let's look for the lessons that the Lord is giving and help our brethren to see them, not necessarily through telling them, but to keep pointing back to what's the Lord's purpose? What promises are you holding on to? What principles are you trying to apply? So, brethren, this has an aspect that's both personal and in the heart, but it's also really looking to the Lord for his ways. We're in the process of transformation, as has been brought out, to be raised to something very high. And it's really through the Lord's word, the understanding of truth that we're given, that this is accomplished, and the hard application that it takes. You know, friends, as we look at our brethren, please keep in mind the way our Lord looks is very different than we look. We can't read the heart. Our brethren may be making heroic efforts to overcome failings that maybe are very trying to us. From the Lord's standpoint, their heart condition could be far better than our own, if we're critical in particular. You know, friends, we want to look again from the Lord's standpoint. Be assistful and receive the benefits of the shared experiences the Lord gives to us. May the Lord add his blessing.